Open up your Bibles with me. Open up to Exodus. I'm not going to make you flip very far in your Bibles. Open up to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. And today we're going to be talking about Jochebed. Who knows who Jochebed is? Have you ever even heard of Jochebed? Raise your hand. Well, you're going to know who Jochebed is here in a moment. So we're going to be learning a little bit about her. Jochebed is the mother of Moses. That's who she is. Now, as we read through our scripture here, verses 1 through 10, you're not going to see her name mentioned. You will see that mentioned if you continue reading through the book of Exodus. You'll see that in Exodus chapter 6. You're going to see it in Numbers chapter 26. You will get to see how that is mentioned. Her name is mentioned there. Moses, his father's name is mentioned, Amram. We're going to get to see a little bit and just get a glimpse of who she is and the things that she did as a mother. And I pray that it will give each of us today, whether you are a female, a mother, or you're not, we can all receive encouragements through the Word of God. So, Exodus chapter 2, starting at verse 1, says, "Now a man from the house of Levi went, took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived, and she bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But she could hide him no longer. She took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it, placed it among the reeds by the riverbank, and his sister stood at a distance to know what would become of him, or what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to the river to bathe, and while her young women walked beside the river, she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him, and she said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' So the child went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages.' So the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because she said, 'I drew him out of the water.'" Now, as I said, it doesn't state her name. Just by reading this, you wouldn't know that this is talking about Jochebed. You can find those things again, Exodus chapter 6, Numbers chapter 26. It names both of them within the genealogy that is listed there. And what we can find is that Jochebed and Amram, they trusted God more than they trusted anything else, or anyone else for that matter. They trusted God with everything, even with their own lives. What we know, if we read before this particular set of scripture, and if we know what the whole story is, the context, what we know is that the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, he had ordered that all the midwives were to kill any of the Jewish boys who were born, and then to let the girls live. He called for the midwives to kill them all. This was simply out of fear. The Israelites were growing in numbers, and Pharaoh was scared to death they were going to get too big and then be able to overthrow them. And so he thought, you know, the way to curb this is I'm just going to kill all the boys. And remember, they didn't count women for anything. It's not like we today where we have men and women serving our country proudly. And they do great and amazing things. And I'm thankful for that. But back then, Moses discounted all the women. Well, he ain't seen the women that are of today that keep churches going all across our country, has he? It is the women that keep the churches going. If we want to be honest, men, we fail at keeping the churches going. We do. That is a bold, honest fact. We can't get behind, we can't get away from it. If it wasn't for the women, churches would be struggling way more than they do today. And we are struggling. All churches all across the country are struggling today. But as you sit maybe next to an amazing woman, as you sit next to your own mother, if they took you to church when you were little, thank them, because they deserve it. And praise the Lord for instilling in them the need to take you to church, because it's necessary. Notice I didn't say that it was needed. They didn't need to take you to church. As parents, it's our duty to take you to church, to learn about the Lord, to teach you about who Jesus Christ is, period. It is our job as parents to do it. And unfortunately, us men, we fail. It's just what happens. The midwives here in this situation, their names are Sifra and Pua. And they, fortunately, feared God more than they feared the king or Pharaoh. They feared God, it says, more than they feared the king. It says that as you read a little bit before the scriptures that we read today. So in Exodus chapter 1, again, in this previous chapter, Exodus chapter 1, verse 20, we see that God, it says, dealt well with these two midwives. Here's the thing. Pharaoh made the order. The midwives didn't follow the order. He said, kill every Hebrew boy, period. And they didn't do it out of fear of God. And then Pharaoh got angry, and he dealt with those midwives. And I'm telling you that whatever he did to them wasn't nothing compared to what God could have done to them. And they feared the Lord, and they decided who was right to follow. And I'm telling you, every day of your life, it is better to follow the Lord than it is to follow anyone else. Every day of your life, it is better to do what the Lord has asked and called you to do than it is to follow anyone else in your life. If someone ever comes before you and says, you don't do this because I said so, but you know in your heart that the Lord has called you to do it, you look that individual in the face and say, you best be getting out of the way because I'm coming through. I am here because the Lord has sent me here, and I'm going to do whatever he says to do. And if you don't like it, you can kiss my derriere, because that's just the way that it works. The Lord is way more important. My wife says all the time, I would much rather offend you than to offend God. I've got to stand in front of the ultimate judge one day. I will stand before him one day, and I will face him, and he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Or he won't. I know which side I want to be on. I know which side I'm striving to be on. And I'm telling you that each of us, we have a duty to do what the Lord has asked for us to do. So for these two women, Sifra and Pua, they feared God more, and they didn't care what the king was going to do to them. And their excuse when he approached them was, why are you not following my orders? Why are you not killing these children? And they simply said, well, these Israelite women, boy, they can sure have these babies before we can get there. We tried to get there, and they done had the child. But so what they did is they found a loophole. They said, they already had the child, before I got there, so the child was already living. You said I had to kill the child as it was being born. I wasn't there. And that was the route. And the king was like, not good enough. And he dealt harshly with them. But the Lord, it says, dealt well with them. So we have to trust God for ourselves. And Timmy, I don't know if you have, if those are going to be available to put up there or not, but we have to trust God for ourselves. I can't tell you how important it is that you have to trust God for yourself, first and foremost, above anything. Before you can help someone else, before you can lead someone else to the Lord, don't you have to trust Him yourself first? Put your faith, your hope, and your trust in Jesus Christ. If you don't do that for yourself, if you don't believe it for yourself, how can I ever point someone else to Jesus and say, you should believe it? It's the old do as I say, not as I do mentality, right? If I'm failing in my Christian walk, what are my children to do? If I fail in my Christian walk, what about my children? What do they see? What encouragement do they have to know what is good and right? Or know, better yet, who is good and right? So here we are. We know that Jochebed has now had the child. Pharaoh is angry. He's upset because the children aren't being killed fast enough. And so he makes an order that all the boys should now just be simply tossed into the Nile. We're going to grab them all, and we're going to toss them into the Nile. We're going to let the females live. So Jochebed and Amram, they did what any parent would do. They hid their child for 3 months. Now, I know that we have at least a couple of small children in here. Are you all to keep that child quiet for 3 months? Good luck keeping them quiet for a day, right? Like a couple of hours. And just so you know, I find the noise from children in the church to be beautiful. Can we just acknowledge that the children, I mean, I'm going to sound like Whitney Houston, the children are our future, right? I mean, like, you all, if you're from 1990, you know what I'm talking about. So, like, it's so amazing to have the sound of children in the church. And it's because it means that you as families are bringing them and you see the importance of having them here before the Lord. So she did the best she could to hide him for 3 months. But at 3 months, she's like, this thing's getting out of control probably, right? If you've got a 3-month-old, you know. She did the best that she could. And she hid him. Now, the stories that we all know is what? If you've ever seen the Disney Moses, right? Who's seen the Disney Moses, the cartoon? Do you not love the Disney cartoon Moses? If you've ever watched it, like, I love watching it. I could go home today and watch it. It's amazing. But the vision that we all have is that she crafted together this basket, right? With bitumen, and she put the pitch on it. She places her child in it. She shoves him down the river. She just stands back and she just, my child's floating down. No, he didn't go floating down no river. She stuck him in the reeds. He was in a stationary spot in the reeds in the Nile. He wasn't floating. It's the common misconceptions that we have in our minds, the stories we've been told. She shoved him down the river, and then you picture, like, he hit some rapids, and he's, you know, like, that's what you sort of envision. You're like, how did he survive? Well, I'll tell you what's more amazing that he survived than him being pushed down the river. It's amazing that he survived the Nile crocodiles, because that river's loaded. It's amazing that he survived the hippos that exist in the Nile River. It's amazing that he survived the piranha fish that live in the river. It's amazing that he survived the monitor lizards that love to go and eat little things. It's amazing that he survived the pythons that are there. He didn't have to float down a river to find danger. It existed where he was within the basket sitting in the reeds. For Jochebed to have left him there took great courage. It's exactly what you may look at it and you may think, I would never do that. How dare she? She did something amazing. She gave him a chance. Because you know what the alternative was? Probably being grabbed, tossed into the Nile River. What chance would he have then? They didn't have swim classes for 3 months old back then. He would have sank. So she did what she felt was the best thing that she could do. It's either that he die or give him to the Lord. And she did that. She gave him to the Lord. She did exactly what she believed in her heart would be the best thing to do. She leaves him there among the reeds. She leaves him on his own. Or did she? I'm pretty sure Scripture says that the Lord's with us wherever we are, isn't he? Jesus says, let the little children come unto me. He was being protected and guarded by the best person possible. It's God our Father. He protected Moses from all of those elements that I've just named. He protected and guarded Moses from being killed when he should have been. The Lord was with him. And Jochebed trusted that God was going to take care of and provide. She trusted God for her family. She knew in her heart, it says in our scripture, it says, she knew in her heart that he was a fine child. Well, that just sounds like a parent, doesn't it? My mother will tell you today that I'm a fine child. Have you looked at me lately? No, I'm just kidding. Like, what mother doesn't look at her child and just say, oh, this is a fine one? She knew there was more. In her heart, she knew there was more. That the Lord had more. She trusted her family to God for more. And she wanted to do everything that she could to give her child a fighting chance. She left Moses in that basket on the Nile River, which was better than just simply throwing him into the river. But can you imagine for a moment the sleepless nights she must have had that led to that day, to that moment? Can you imagine the pain that she felt in her heart as she placed him in that basket and then turned and walked away? Can't imagine the prayers she must have prayed before, during, and after putting him in that basket. The only explanation that I can give you today is that she 100% trusted God with her child. That's what we should do. We should learn from that. We should take her example and we should apply it to our own lives. Because she trusted that God had a plan. As we get to see within the rest of our scripture, his sister standing at a distance, waiting to see what's going to happen, what's going to be done to him. We got to hear about how the daughter of Pharaoh, she comes down, she finds him. We get to read the rest of the story. We have the whole story that we can look at and that we can see and that we can go, oh man, this story ended so well. But you know, she didn't know the end of this story. By faith, she had to trust that God had a plan. God has a plan for every single one of us. And we don't know what that plan is. We don't know what that plan is from one day to the next. All we can do is simply say, Lord, I trust you. I trust you with myself. I trust you with my family. And I trust that you, God, have a plan. And even if I don't understand the plan, even if I don't like the plan, even if I can't comprehend the plan, it's yours. And I give myself to you, and I give my family to you. Whatever you want or ask of me, I will do. Christians, you know how hard that is. Because we're simple people. I want what I want when I want it, don't I? I want it to be my needs and my will be done. But that's not the way that Jesus said we are to pray, is it? Jesus said, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we have to trust that the Lord is going to supply for us that daily bread. He's going to give us everything that we could possibly need. And so as we know the rest of this story, we know that Jochebed didn't just simply leave Moses in a basket just anywhere on the river. As I noted for you, she placed him in a place that she knew he would be noticed. It was among the reeds, in a place where she knew the daughter of Pharaoh would be coming. This is where she comes to bathe. So I'm going to leave him in a well-known, well-traveled place to give him the best chance, the best opportunity as I can. His sister even stayed by closely. She wanted to see, and maybe it was in an effort that, you know what, if one of these crocodiles comes, I'm going to do whatever I can to help my baby brother. I'll do whatever it takes. I want to stand here and stand guard to take care of this. What should have happened was that the king's orders should have been followed. Moses, by all human earthly right, should have been killed or tossed into the Nile. And yet there he is, a small child in a basket in the reeds on the Nile River, being found by who? The daughter of the king, by Pharaoh's daughter, of all people. That is a God thing if I have ever seen it. That is irony at its best, isn't it? And when Pharaoh's daughter saw this little tiny Hebrew child, what does it say? She had pity. She had pity. You know what she should have done? She should have said, ooh, a Hebrew child. That's what should have happened. But because God is at work in anything, everything, and everyone, she had pity on this child. She had pity on this child. I'm here to tell you today that the Lord had pity on that child, and he worked in and through Pharaoh's daughter. That's what happened. And in a twist of fate, as he's being found, as she's taking pity on this little Hebrew child, here comes Miriam. That's his sister's name. She comes forward. She's like, oh, hey. Looks like you need a nurse. I know somebody I can go get for you. We can nurse that child for you. Would you like us to nurse that child for you? And then here's Pharaoh's daughter. She's like, why, yes, thank you, little one. Please take this child from me. Right? She's like, this is awesome. So here goes Miriam. Mom, you're never going to guess. Look who I've got. And you can almost imagine that Jochebed, for just a split second, was like, what have you done? I left him there for a reason. What are we going to do? She's like, no. Pharaoh's daughter gave him to me. And she wants you to nurse him. The providence of God. That's what that is. That is God at his best. That is God working and moving through every single situation ever. That is trusting God to do what we think is the impossible, and he makes it possible. He always comes through. Now the plan is in motion. Jochebed now gets to spend time. She gets to spend time with her child. And these are pivotal years because he didn't just go home with his mother as a three-month-old and then in a couple of months he went back. You see, he was handed over to his own mother to be nursed. And back then, the Hebrew children were nursed until somewhere about age 2 to 3 years old. Typically, they might even stay somewhere until about the age of 5. You know how much you can teach a child between the ages of 3 and 5? There's a lot that you can do in that early, early years. And there he is, now in the arms of his mother, of his family. And she is now able to pour into him about their heritage. She's able to pour into him all about God. She's able to pour into him all of the scriptures that she knows. She is able to tell him and instill in his little tiny heart everything that she can possibly fit into there about who God is. And get this, how, little one, you were saved from the Nile. You should be dead, little one, but instead you're here and you are alive. And you want to know what the real irony is of this? She got paid to do it. Not only did God supply for this, but he paid her while it happened. Not that she was going to ask for it, but you got to remember, these people, the Hebrew people, like they were the Israelites, they were not treated well. They were poor. For her to... This helped, not only did she get to care for her child, but she also got to help to provide for her family. This is God showing up with such providential love, care, and concern. Again, it gave her plenty of time. And Brother Jim actually alluded to this during our offering prayer time. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And it worked. You see, when we instill Jesus Christ in our children, it says they hear the word, they absorb the word. Train up a child in the way, in Jesus. He won't depart from it. Moses, as we all know, returned to his people. Through the Lord, he led his people out of bondage. And then he led his people to the Lord. God had a plan. Jochebed trusted that God had this plan. So moms, you can take courage. Hopefully you can find courage in and through this type of word, through this type of scripture. There are plenty of other moms that we could have talked about today in the Bible. Things that were hard. We would have seen how they trusted in the Lord to provide. My encouragement to you today is simply this. And I say simply, but it's not. But I'm going to give it to you anyway. Don't wait for someone else to train up your child. Don't wait. You have your little one in those most pivotal years. Don't wait for somebody else to teach them. Do it yourself. Trust that the Lord's going to give you the guidance and the wisdom to do it. Remember, you have to trust God for yourself first. And then you trust him with your family. And then you trust the plan that he has. Don't wait for someone else to teach your children about the Lord. I'll tell you whose job it's not. Mine. The church. We are called to come together as a body, aren't we? It's not my job to raise your children. It's not the church's job to raise your children. The only time they hear about Jesus shouldn't have been when they went to a children's program. You should be teaching them at home. Everything starts at home. The discipline of the child starts at home. Everything about your child, you spend more time with your child, I hope and pray you spend more time with your child than I do, than this church does. Honestly, we only get them for a couple of hours once a week. Maybe twice if we're lucky. You have them almost 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Pour into your children. Read them God's word. Open the Bible, read the stories to them. It will matter. I remember reading to my daughter. Sometimes I would let her read God's word, and then I'd fall asleep because she was learning to read. You all, if you've been there, you know what that's like. I'm not saying that because it's like, oh, well, be like the pastor. No, the pastor screws up all the time. Okay? We are not the perfect pastoral family. We are not. Are we, honey? She says, not at all. All the time she sits here and she tells me, she's like, I am not pastor wife material. She will readily admit it to you and the entire church. She's like, sometimes I'm bold in the things I say. Sometimes people don't like it. And I'm like, that's okay. Sometimes it needs to be said, and sometimes it needs to be heard, doesn't it? Listen, don't wait for somebody else to train up your children about the Lord. Don't adhere to the old adage either of doing whatever your husband wants you to do. Oh, we could teach and preach a whole nother sermon on this one. All I can do is encourage you that if it is you or if it is someone you know and they say, well, I don't go to church because my husband doesn't want to on Sunday, call my wife and she will encourage you. Listen, nowhere in Scripture does it say you stay home on Sunday and you keep your kids home on Sunday because your husband wants to fail the family. Nowhere. What it does say in Hebrews chapter 10 is that you should not fail to gather together as the unbelievers. No one should ever tell you to stay away from God, nor should you ever listen to that type of advice, ever. You pick your children up. You take them to church. That's the simple, that is the hard, honest truth. Get your kids, take them to church. And here's the other thing. I want you to take them every week. Not just on Christmas, not just on Easter, and get this, not just on Mother's Day. There's 52 Sundays in a year. And I get it. Maybe you go on vacation. That's fine. I'll give you, just come 50 of those weeks then. I'll give you 2 weeks off. How about that? The pastor gave you 2 weeks off a year. I get 2 weeks off a year, you get 2 weeks off a year. We should have our children and our families in church. Hebrews 10 says, do not fail to gather together. That is not my word. If you don't like it, take it up with God. It's His word. My job to share it. And kids, you're not off the hook. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Because if you don't listen to your parents, you may not live very long. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17, the eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. Exodus 21:15, whoever strikes his father or his mother shall be put to death, Exodus 21:17, whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death. Leviticus 19:3, every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, as you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. And Matthew 19:19 says, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Colossians chapter 3. None of us are off the hook. Moms, dads, children, children of God. None of us are off the hook. We all need to trust the Lord. And we can take notes from Jochebed to do so. So moms, are you going to trust your children to the world? Or are you going to trust them to God? I'm going to encourage you to trust them to God. This world is not okay. Teach your children to trust God for themselves. Teach your children to trust God with their family. Teach your children to trust that God has a plan. And He does. I'm gonna invite our worship team to come up. I'm going to pray for us. We're going to have a time of invitation. If you feel like you need to come before the Lord, and you need to surrender your heart to Him, I invite you to come forward and do that. I am going to let you know that after this, I do have one more thing for you moms. Actually, we have two more things for you moms. And so once we finish with this last song, I'm going to ask you to sit back down. And this one's fine, I promise. I'm not yelling at you no more. This one's a fine one. And then we have a gift for you as you part today. But for right now, let's just go before the Lord. Just spend a moment with Him. Trust Him for yourself. Trust Him with your family. Trust that the Lord has a plan. So, Father, we thank You. Lord, as we are here gathered before You today, pray, Lord, that we lift up Your holy name. And that we give You the thanks and the praise that You rightfully deserve. Father, be with us. As You know, that as best as we can, we're trying to lift up that joy. There is a heaviness in the room that we just simply can't get past. So Father, we just bring everything before You. Lay everything down at Your feet, here, right now. We just ask for Your Spirit to come into our hearts, that You would lead us during this time of this, as we lift up our voices to You. That if anyone here doesn't know the Lord as their Savior, Lord, that You would help them to come forward and give their life to You. That if we just need a renewal, Lord, a refreshing, that we just need to come before You and just talk to You, that this altar is open. Help us, Lord. Thank You. We thank You for the ladies. Thank You for the moms. We thank You for those special women in our lives. Thank You most of all, Jesus, for Your sacrifice, for everything that You do. We lift all these things to You in Your precious name, Jesus.